This podcast is part of the Big Heads Media Podcast Network. Go to bigheadsmedia.com for more great podcasts.
Welcome to the Bills Breakdown Podcast. I am Nate Schreiber, and as always, with my co-host, Alex Pollinger.
Welcome to our week one recap and our week two preview here. So after rewatching the game, we have a bit more detailed analysis of a disappointing first week, and then we'll hop right into the preview of week two at the Dolphins. But I think the story of week one has to be that the tackles, the offensive tackles, were bad. And that's something we didn't expect, and hopefully they correct it going forwards. But they were awful, but I think Pittsburgh has the best pass rush in the NFL, probably. And I definitely underestimated that. And they're good.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's one of the tougher defenses they're going to face all year. And the Steelers did some kind of unique things to the Bills that teams, no one's really done to them since Josh Allen has been good since last year. And that just, it made it tough on the Bills. And when you can get pressure all game long, only rushing four guys, that's a problem for the offense. Like, you saw what no quarterback is going to look good when you get pressure rushing four guys, you can drop seven. And you saw Pat Mahomes in the Super Bowl last year, same deal. The Bucs got pressure all day, didn't look very good, scored 9 points. And I think, so that being said, I think Josh Allen's going to be is fine. I think he's going to be fine. I'm not really concerned about Josh Allen. But like Alex said, I am concerned about the offensive line. But after rewatching the game, a little bit less concerned that it was the tackles who were more the issue than the interior guys. And honestly, Cody Ford probably was the best lineman on the field, which is a very good sign. And the reason I feel better about the tackles being the problem is we've seen how good these tackles can be. And so I think that feels to me more correctable than the guards being a major problem.
And if they ever play Pittsburgh again this season in the playoffs, like, Darrell Williams' play is probably somewhere in the middle of when he completely erased TJ Watt last year and getting completely dominated by him this time. So hopefully it's somewhere in between if they play again. But Deion Dawkins, you know, hospitalized with COVID not that long ago, you know, a month and a half ago at this point, around then. So, I mean, he lost 15, 16 pounds. It's not easy to come back from, and hopefully he's able to correct that. And John Feliciano, I thought, was pretty bad, but at the same time, it looked like he was asked to do a lot of combination blocks with Mitch Morris on the inside, but there was a lot of hesitation from him, I saw, because, you know, he's not used to Deion Dawkins getting beat on his left, so probably willing to cut him some slack there, because, you know, you're not really used to your franchise left tackle getting beat all day long.
No, and, you know, something else the Steelers did, so on top of that pass rush, which was ridiculously good and killed the Bills all day long, they also did something that I thought was kind of cool. And they pretty much played every down as if it was third down. And it makes sense because the Bills play every down on offense as if it's third and long, essentially. That's the type of plays they're running. That's what they're doing, was spreading the game out, throwing the ball in the intermediate portion of the field. And teams on third down on defense, if you think about what teams normally do on third down on defense, they might do some more exotic looks. They might try to disguise things more. They might play some weird coverages to try and confuse the quarterback. The Steelers did that on every single play, and that's another thing that really hurt the Bills' offense.
Yeah, and it looked like they played a lot of Tampa too. So basically dropping your two corners, your nickel corner, your two linebackers back as like a five-man shell across the middle with two safeties over the top, which of course the only way to beat that is really to, you know, get some vertical routes up the field or in breakers in that intermediate area. The problem is when you have, you know, less than 2.5 seconds to throw, your receivers aren't getting open in that area in that amount of time.
Right. And I mean, they played those coverages, like both when they played in Tampa 2, they played a decent amount of cover 3 as well. They did some like kind of cool things that I think the Bills could honestly, and other teams in the league could copy. Like they played a bunch of cover 3 where the three deep players were the three corners. The nickel corner dropped into the deep middle, and both safeties came down and played like in that Robert role. And they got Josh Allen very confused by that quite a few times. And obviously, Josh Allen's a smart player. The Bills are like, do it. I do that again. Might see it coming. But I thought the Steelers, like, they just did some really cool things with coverages, especially with how they used Minka.
Right. And I thought the Bills did a poor job offensively, Brian Daboll, in adjusting to what they were doing. They continued to try to run, you know, a lot of those intermediate passing plays when it was clear they just didn't have time to do it. And, you know, a few times they had, you know, safety valve option with Dawson Knox or Devin Singletary leaking out into the flat. It got them a few yards when, you know, most of the time they were just getting incompletions. So I'd like to see that added more as a wrinkle to the offense. I think it was a product of them going, you know, 10 personnel, 4 wide receivers on the field. They're completely empty in the backfield. And it's hard to just have a guy kind of like chip and leak out into the flat for those easy completions when nothing's open.
Right. I mean, and I think it's more for the Bills. I guess play calling, partially play calling, play design, whatever you can blame. I mean, we're not football coaches. It does seem like that needs to change. The other thing that I think a lot of it is just execution. It comes down to that too. And if the offensive line blocks better, some of those plays, maybe they work. Like, for all the people calling for the Bills to run the ball more, I'm very anti. That's not their game. That's not what they do. Like, the Bills are going to throw the ball 40 times a game. That's what they do. If they lose doing it, if they win doing it, whatever, that's what they do. Now, are there going to be some games they might run the ball a bit more? Yeah, but the solution to their problems is not running the ball more. Like, I've seen a lot of people suggest that. That is not. Yes, that may work. That may be something they can do or they do in future games. But that's not the solution. Running the ball more is not what this team needs to do or should do.
Right. And like we've said all along, you just need to be effective when you do it. And when they didn't run with Josh Allen, there was way too many quarterback draws in this game. That was my takeaway, is, you know, it looked very, very predictable to the Steelers defense when they did it. And you should probably stop having your, you know, $258 million quarterback act as a battering ram when you could have just activated Zach Moss to do the same thing. But when they did run the ball, particularly out of shotgun, they were really effective at it. Devin Singletary was really efficient. Had like 72 yards on 11 carries. That's really good.
Yeah, they did do a good job running when they got the right looks. And they could maybe have done some more of that, especially when on early downs. Like, that is where I would have maybe liked to see them late in the game run the ball a little bit more, because the Steelers are playing these exotic defenses on first down. Like, if they're playing a third and long defense, most third and long defenses are not designed to stuff a run. Even so, if you can do that into those defenses, get 5 or 6 yards on first down a few more times than they did, that's a huge difference in the game. And now, hindsight's 20/20, obviously, but that's, I think they could have maybe in a few situations ran the ball more. On the Josh Allen quarterback draw thing, rewatching that game, I think, and now I don't know what the play calls were exactly, but I think on at least 2 of those, potentially 3 of those, that was not designed quarterback draw. At least 2 of them, you could see the Bills were trying to set something up, and then either one time, Deion Dawkins got beat like on the snap, and another time, Darrell Williams got beat on the snap and kind of forced Josh away from what he was trying to do. And I think the play was broken. It was probably supposed to be a screen or something, and he just had to take the 2 yards up the middle he could. And then there was one other play where I think it was Feliciano, but the entire Steelers defensive line came straight up the middle, and Josh had to run again. Like, there's, and I don't think those were necessarily designed, but even say, so I think he ran 9 times, say even 3 of them were designed, 6 into that defense, probably too many.
Yeah, especially when you're outside the red zone. Like, a lot of them came out outside the red zone, which I thought was just a strange place to do it, because that's where he's best. But I also think that, you know, going forwards, they should try to use a bit more Dawson Knox in the running backs in the passing game. I'd like to see more 11 personnel. Like, still throw the ball a lot. And I think they can use more play action. I don't know what the final percentage was on play action that they ran, but it seems like they could have used that more, because it just plants that seed of doubt in the defense for just a second that can buy you a little bit of time.
Yeah, I think that's going to change. I mean, the Bills did a really good job last year on play action. They ran a lot of play action last year, and they did get away from it a little bit towards the end of the year, but I think they really need to get back to it. Like last year, early in the season, when as Josh Allen was getting comfortable and we saw like the new Josh Allen, there was a lot of that was on play action. That is just what the Bills did. Like against the Rams last year in week three, that game was. I don't remember the exact stats top of my head. I remember we talked about it last year. It was like 9 for 14. Like 160 yards and 3 touchdowns off play action. Like that's, they need to do that more. It even if, like Alex just said, the defense even thinks you might run the ball and hesitates for like a half a second, that's enough for someone to get open.
Yeah. And Josh Allen had one. I don't think he was bad. I don't think he was good in this game either. He had the touchdown drive. He was outstanding. I mean, that touchdown throw was ridiculous to Gabe Davis. There was like a window the size of the ball to get it in there, and it was a perfect throw. But Josh Allen's going to be fine. To me, the whole tone of this game was set on the opening kickoff. It should have been a touchdown. Rewatching that back, Tywan Jones stopped running up the field because I think he thought Isaiah McKenzie was going to be tackled. And then he had to catch back up once he saw McKenzie had some open lanes in front of him. And then he just failed to get his hands on any one of the few Steelers that were left in front of him. If he blocks one of them, it's a touchdown. And that was just something that's frustrating to me watching it back.
Yeah, special teams, I mean, that's a mistake. Especially the kick return was great, obviously, but it's still a mistake. It should have been better. And then the punt block scene deal, special teams weren't great. That's the punt block was just I think it was a miscommunication. I'm not exactly sure, but the Bills had two guys essentially block no one, and I think it was probably a miscommunication. I'm not sure what else it would have been.
Right, and I think it was a couple of Steelers looped to the other side, and two Bills went after them, and Jaquan Johnson just missed the guy coming straight up the middle unblocked. He chose to chip the two loopers, I think, and just missed that the guy was coming straight down the middle unblocked.
Right, and that's, I mean, he obviously assumed there was either no one there or someone was going to... That guy was going to get blocked. Mihaljevic probably could have done a better job too. He blocked someone that was already getting blocked as well. And he didn't, he maybe could have stayed in that hole. I mean, it's tough to like assign blame when you don't exactly know what responsibilities are in any given play, but someone obviously messed up there, and hopefully the Bills can get that fixed.
Yeah. So I think quickly we'll talk about the defensive side of the ball. Ed Oliver was outstanding in this game. And I think he was probably him or Matt Milano were the two best players on the field on the defense.
Yeah, I mean, Milano made three plays in this game that were just insane, insane plays. His best play of the game probably was tackling Najee Harris. The Steelers in the red zone, Najee came right to left across the field. Milano got beat. He slipped, was a step behind him, managed to accelerate back, catch Najee Harris as he's catching the ball and tackle him for like a 1 yard gain to set up fourth down and make Steelers kick a field goal. That was maybe his best play of the game. And he did a couple other plays he made in the passing game, just absolutely ridiculous. But we know he's a really good player.
Yeah, Tremaine Edmonds, I thought he was pretty good for the most part. It seems like he's always so close to making like a game changing play and just misses, because he should have had an interception earlier in that game. And I think that was just the story of the game, is any close play or close call seemed like it did not go the Bills' way. Like, there was a bunch of plays in this game where if it goes a bit differently, then the Bills might win the game. They didn't deserve to, but I think that was kind of the story last year. They won a couple of games they probably shouldn't have, and, you know, they were bound to regress a little bit in the win column just because of that. And, you know, I think of the strip sack Mario Addison had. The ball kind of bounced around everywhere, and the Bills just narrowly missed recovering it deep in Steelers' territory. That would have changed the game. The defensive holding call on what would have been an interception, that changed the game. And then Josh Allen, when he got strip sacked, the Bills almost fell on that one and prevented the Steelers from taking the ball at midfield. That would have changed the game. And, you know, that's how it goes. Sometimes you lose all of those close plays.
Yeah, randomness doesn't always go in your favor, and a lot of those things like are pretty random events. Like, we know fumble recoveries are completely random events. Penalties, I guess, are sort of random because you have no idea what the refs are going to call any given day. As we talked about, not that I'm blaming the refs, but it is impossible to know like exactly what is holding and what's not holding and what is pass interference and what's not. Because it seems watching any NFL game that every single ref calls it differently. And if I was a player, I'd be so confused about what's actually allowed and what's not, because it on a game to game basis, it seems to change.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. So anything else you want to add on the recap of the Steelers game, Nate, or shall we move into week two?
I just want to reiterate, the Bills defense played great. Like this, if the Bills defense can do this all year, that is massive for this team, because the Steelers offense obviously is not like some high powered offense, but the Bills still did a really, really good job defensively in this game. And that's something that hopefully they can carry forward to next week against Miami. So let's talk about the Dolphins.
Yeah, so the Bills going down to Miami, where they have, you know, crushed that team for a couple, well, at least the offense has crushed that team for a couple of years now. And I expect the offense to get back on track here. Yes, Miami was a good defense last year. They still are a good defense, but the Bills match up extraordinarily well with them because they play a lot of man, and the Bills have a ton of guys that beat man, and Josh Allen crushes man defenses. So I expect the offense to get back on track here.
Yeah, I mean, I would be surprised if the offense didn't. Not that they're going to go out and score 56 points like the last year in the second game against the Dolphins, but just to go out, I expect them to go out and play well. And that's like looked like the Bills' offense we were expecting. And there's no reason they shouldn't be able to do that against this Dolphins defense. Yes, the Dolphins defense is fairly good. They do some really good things. They're one of the better man teams in the league. But like Alex just said, the Bills and Josh Allen specifically play really well against man. And I think the Bills receivers match up pretty well. Like, yes, Xavier Howard is one of the best corners in the league. And they also have Byron Jones, who's a very solid corner. And then Jason McCourty. But the Bills have five receivers that can get open. The Dolphins don't have five guys that can cover.
Yeah, I think that's a good synopsis. And the Dolphins have nowhere near the pass rush of the Steelers. So I expect the offensive line to be much better, particularly the tackles. And the Dolphins lost Raekwon Davis, their nose tackle. So I don't think we have to worry about as much pressure up the middle. There's certainly no Cam Hayward on this team.
Yeah, and that's huge for the Bills. I mean, this is an overall much easier matchup offensively for the Bills against the Dolphins than it was against the Steelers. Now, not to say the Dolphins defense isn't good. The Dolphins defense is pretty good. They're gonna have most games here, they aren't gonna give up a ton of points. But the Bills are like almost specifically built to exploit what the Dolphins do on defense. And that's why they've matched up so well against the Dolphins in the last couple of years. It's more for that reason than anything else, because the Dolphins defense is very, very good. They just do the things the Bills happen to be good at beating.
Yeah, so I expect the Bills to be pass heavy again. Hopefully see a bit more play action, especially against man-to-man. That can be effective. So, I mean, it's effective against anything, but just to buy the receivers a split second more to get open. You know, Stephon Diggs. I expect Emmanuel Sanders to have a big game. I know Xavier Howard and Byron Jones are both really good corners, but, you know, I think the Bills receivers are better.
Yeah, I mean, last year, that's exactly the way it looked. The Bills receivers were just getting open all day. I think that is a good chance of happening again. And that's where the Bills need to do that to win this game. Like the Dolphins did not have some high powered offense. They're not going to go out and score 31 points against you. So if the Bills offense can play well enough and score four touchdowns, I don't see a way the Bills can lose. Now, if the Bills only get to 17, 20 points, that's a whole different story.
Exactly. And that's probably going to be the story the whole season. And, you know, I'd like to see Dawson Knox used a bit more in this game. He was really good last week, and I think he warrants some more use in the offense. And, you know, just get guys into space and let them make plays after the catch. So I think offensively, that's probably, you know, all there is to it, really, is, you know, they'll probably run a lot of crossing routes. That's how they destroyed the Dolphins both times last year, and I don't see a way the Dolphins can correct it unless they go away from what they play on defense.
Yeah, I think that's generally right. I mean, the Dolphins last week, they did give up 393 yards. I think that's the number it was to the Patriots. Patriots had to kick three field goals, and the Dolphins offense didn't do anything spectacular. I mean, two only threw for 202 yards. I think the Bills are really set up to win this game. They match up really well. And it's just got to go execute and put it all together.
Absolutely. So I think the Bills are 3.5 point favorites here. Defensively, I think, you know, we've seen once Tua gets off his first read, he doesn't really know what to do. And we saw more of that last week where he just threw the ball up because he didn't know what else to do with it. So I expect the Bills defense to get a couple of turnovers here. And if the pass rush can really get after it, you know, I expect more zone coverage. They played a lot of man last week against Pittsburgh, like over 60%, which is pretty unusual for them. So I expect to see a lot more zone coverage, make Tua hold the ball and just try to confuse him.
Yeah, I mean, it's I don't see a way the Dolphins offense does anything spectacular in this game. I don't think Tua is, like Alex says, he's just not good enough to carry an offense. He has glimpses. He makes some ridiculous throws every week. He'll make one or two throws is like that's a really good throw. But then two-thirds of the time, like Alex just said, he looks lost. Like his interception in the fourth quarter, like that, that's what you get from him like a couple times a game. And Josh Allen used to do that. He doesn't anymore. I think it's kind of like the mistakes are kind of similar. He just has no idea what's going on and throws the ball up.
Yeah, so I think this is the week where we can start to judge the pass rush. Ben Roethlisberger got the ball out so fast last week that the pass rush couldn't do much. So, obviously a much weaker, well, Pittsburgh's offensive line's not great, but Tua's not going to be getting rid of the ball that quickly, or at least the Bills shouldn't be giving him those options. It's going to be a lot of checkdowns, and if he's not checking the ball down, it's going to be throwing the ball up. So, and we saw how that ended up week 17 of last year, so I don't expect them, you know, to score 56 points and destroy them by four or five touchdowns. That rarely happens, but I do expect the Bills to control this game.
Yeah, I want to say I expect them to control this game. They should. I don't know. Do I expect them to? I don't know. Maybe not right off the bat. I do think they'll eventually figure it out and find the points they need to win this game, but what we're going to see, like the pass, I'm very curious to see the pass rush, how it looks against the Dolphins. It's Austin Jackson starting back at left tackle, and who really didn't have a great preseason. Liam Eichenberg actually played, I thought, really well against the Patriots, and he's not starting him. And then, so we'll see. The pass rush needs to be effective. Needs to get to a moving off the platform, need to change the game a little bit. Or the Bills offense just needs to go ham and score 38 points. If either one of those things happens, I think the Bills win this game. This is a game that even if they only score 21 points, I still see them more likely than not winning it.
I think that's right. So the over-under is at 47.5. The Bills are a 3-point favorite right now. Nate, what's your prediction here?
I thought about this one for a while because what I think the Bills should do and what I think is actually going to happen are probably two different things. So the Bills should win this game by multiple touchdowns. I don't see them fully pulling away in this game. Like it's going to be, I still think they win handily, but not in the way that they necessarily should. So I'm going Buffalo 28, Miami 17.
Yeah, I'm along the same lines. I think it's going to be Buffalo 31, Miami 16.
And that's, I think that, it should. The Bills should win this game by multiple touchdowns. They should. I don't necessarily know if they will. And really, I'm looking to see. I'm really in this game. I'm looking for the offense to show out a little bit. I'm not worried about the defense. If the offense plays the way they need to play, the defense doesn't matter. And that's what I want to see on Sunday.
Yeah, and hopefully the offense comes out with something to prove and Josh Allen doesn't, you know, try to make things happen too much, because it felt like he did a little bit of that last week where he's just trying way too hard to make things happen instead of taking what's given to him. So hopefully we see them come out, you know, calm, but ready to put up some points and not panic after what they did last week.
Yeah, that's really the key for this week is just get back on track.
All right, so hopefully we'll be back with a rapid reaction on Sunday talking about the 1-1 Buffalo Bills, and we're feeling much better about them. That'll bring us to an end of this episode of the Bills Breakdown Podcast. I'm your co-host, Alex Pollinger.
And I am Nate Schreiber.
Subscribe, download, give us a rating and a review wherever you get your podcasts. It helps other people find the show. Do us a favor and share it with one friend this week so we can continue growing the pod. Follow us on Twitter at Bills_Breakdown. Send us any questions, comments, feedback to BillsBreakdownPodcast@gmail.com. Thank you for listening, and go Bills.